Sisters.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Elsie Feda, and I have my co-host in, where are you, Margaret? Oh, yeah, you're in Boston. But I'm in your time zone.
Did you?
Can you believe it?
See, you know what? Everyone is thinking, she said goodbye last week. We're extending my stay a
She's
little bit.
Back.
I'm just helping out today. I'm a pinch hitter. Oh, yeah, Dottie Leatherwood posted something I saw yesterday where she just couldn't believe that they were going to get some snow. And I said to her, really? Because we just heard we're getting like 3 to 5 inches today and 10 inches next Tuesday. So you have never seen such sad New Englanders. I actually heard someone say yesterday, as long as it's clear for opening day at Fenway Park. So they've got their priorities straight.
Well, I'm going to participate in the snow conversation for the first time and say, I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and we had a little snow last night, too. How's that? Can you believe it?
It's pathetic. I think we have a more important
kind of
thing to talk
and
about.
I'm sad.
Well,
Pardon?
You know what, Leslie? Take some pictures, and if you need to come to Boston, apparently Tuesday's, better get in before the plane stop, but Tuesday's the day. Now,
got it.
I have to bring something up about our show on Instagram. Number one, thank you to everybody that went and actually, you know, clicked on my images and followed me. I went from a whopping 108 to, I think I'm at 184. Woo! But Leslie, I just checked. You have increased tenfold. Phenomenal.
How many did I have last time?
Well, when we started... You were like at 280.
On the show?
And now you're at 2,825, which, talk about the power of social media.
Well.
Amazing.
You know,
and your images look great.
And this is, well, thank you. And for those of you that missed last week's show, I started a new Instagram page because, you know, I just didn't have enough things to do. And it's called My 100-Year-Old Home, and the 100 is 100. And it's kind of all about my 102-year-old home, and it's basically, we redid a remodel 19 years ago. That is the kind of the foundation for our house, but I'm making my house more like a home. I'm making it more casual, more farmhouse style, and this is kind of the process. It's not like the big renovation. It's an easier time, if that makes sense. And I'm so intrigued with this whole community of bloggers and Instagrammers who are into this farmhouse look. And it's just, it's so, the group of people is like the nicest group of people in the world. The thing that blew me away was last Sunday, two people who have like 90,000 followers, the other girl had like, I think, over 100,000, who I've never talked to, I've commented with, randomly decided to share a picture of my home on their page. They put me down as hashtag one to follow and said, you have to follow this person. And I got 1,000 extra follows last Sunday. And Country Living Magazine did it late on Saturday night. So it was like,
oh, that is really great. That's
so
amazing.
That's what happened. And I texted my intern, she's brilliant on this, and I said, I'm sorry. And I just said, what is going on? And she responded, I have no idea. She says, I've never seen anything like this. So it's been really fun. Really fun.
That's great. Well, I'm amazed by the sort of the power of it all. And to be perfectly honest, I have found more little, kind of applies to today's topic, but I've found more sort of interesting niches that people are, you know, into exploring, sort of very creative outlets that I don't think I would have been aware of if I hadn't been kind of flipping through and looking at just beautiful images. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it. And I'm very proud of my 100 followers. Thank you all.
You should be.
It's been fun.
I even got a message from someone who said how inspired they were by your Instagram page. So, kudos to you.
Aww.
Very impressive.
Well, there you go.
But I will tell you, there are little communities on Instagram, believe it or not. And if you want to find one, and let's say you want to find your audience, do some hashtags. If you paint dogs, do a hashtag on people who love dogs or dog lovers. And you're going to find these people and you can start following them. And you'll see that they all kind of follow each other, and there are these amazing little and huge communities within Instagram that are really fun to find. I mean, I feel like with my farmhouse thing that I've got this group of almost all women, you know, even though it's almost 3,000, but we're like in this our own little town, and we all have these really cute little houses, and I'm learning so many great ideas from people, and it's really fun. So anyway.
That's great. Well,
it's a long story.
It's definitely something to explore. Yeah.
Yes. So true. So I'm in Ohio to go to volleyball games. I know you're shocked.
I thought it was a workshop. I'm sorry.
So did a lot of people. I mentioned on my blog earlier, and I got some emails. You're coming to Ohio? Why didn't you tell us about your workshop? I thought about scheduling one, but I decided, no, I'm just here with family, and we're going to have a fun time. So today's show, thank you, Margaret, for the idea, is called Why Artists Need to Shake Things Up. And this kind of is a result of that situation that we all get in. When you feel unmotivated to paint, or you kind of feel pigeonholed with what you're painting, it's getting boring, you're not excited about it. These are situations that every single artist faces. And I feel like lately I've seen a lot of posts on Facebook about artists kind of struggling with this way more than I imagined. And kudos to them for being vocal about it, because sometimes that's hard to do. And when Margaret brought up this idea, I thought, oh, this is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And Margaret and I, of course, have been through this. And we're going to start out by kind of sharing what we've experienced. And then we're going to tell you kind of how we've dealt with it later on in the show. And
okay.
I put together like 22 points of things that you can do to kind of get out of your rut and shake things up. So, Margaret, do you want to start?
Take it away, Margaret. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting to me because I sort of feel like, you know, they always make jokes that Taylor Swift, people are afraid to, you know, sort of talk to her because they know they're going to end up in a song. She writes every I feel that way about the artist helping
her because of that.
Yeah. But it's the artist helping artist show, because, you know, we really do write these and come up with these topics from our own experience. And this one is no exception. And it was, for me, it was really born out of not so much frustration or really feeling pigeonholed, although I see that all the time. Everyone I talk to talks about, you know, how they get their successful painting, you know, houses at the beach, and then they feel like that's all they can paint, or even more. I think people start to feel like a certain style or genre or subject material is expected from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go into their studio and they almost, you know, some friend of mine who's in a painting group with me said, well, I sort of feel like if I don't know what to do, I just start, you know, painting mountains because everybody knows I paint mountains. And she said, but then I get halfway through and I'm really kind of not into the mountain the way I used to be. And I think to myself, what's wrong with that? I mean, we should be able to stop.
Nothing.
So for me, right. For me, it wasn't so much that. It was that, you know, the entire world knows I have this wedding coming up this summer for my daughter. And she had asked me to start fooling around with pen and ink and do some calligraphy. And that led to me doing some pen and ink drawings because I was thinking about other things. And I will confess to you, Leslie in the world, that yesterday, I don't know where 8 to 10 hours of my life went, except I only occasionally got up from the table because I was doing something for a shower that her friends are giving her. And I can't even describe it, nor will I post it until after the weekend because heaven forbid she should see it. But you have to kind of take stock of the fact that maybe you are doing something different. But I had this revelation that I still felt creative. That part of my brain still felt like the light was, you know, flicking on. And clearly, 8 hours were gone. It's sort of, it's like a movie where it gets dark and you don't even realize it. You look up and you say, oh, the dogs are here. Is it dinner time? So I think it fills the same creative need in me. And the thing I struggle with personally is I don't want to feel guilty because I'm not in my studio painting.
Right.
That's really, I think, every artist's dilemma. I don't know. So for me, it's just these little incidental things come in, and I almost have to remind myself that it's okay not to be standing at an easel now and then. The more important thing is to, I think, stay creative and enjoy what you're doing, because it usually gets better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's your experience?
Well, I've been painting, 8 or 9 years. So it hasn't been that long. So there have been a lot of times in those last years where I've woken up in the morning and thought, who am I kidding? You know, I will have seen something that another artist did, saw something in a magazine, maybe got rejected for some, you know, didn't make a sale. I don't know what it is. And those moments where I thought, you know, how do I think that I can be an artist? Seriously, Leslie, what is that all about? And I still was comparing myself a lot to other artists, and I found this little niche. You know, I love to paint boats. It was more about painting reflections. And I painted boats after boats after boats after boats. And it became easier. I could do it in my sleep. I didn't need any inspiration, nothing. And after a while, I was like, if I paint another boat, I'm gonna run out of my studio screaming.
Yeah.
And even painting in plein air, it was boring. And I really struggled with that for a long time. But I didn't want to say anything to anybody because that was kind of what I was known for. So I kind of looked into this whole abstract arena and started playing with that. And, of course, when I started doing that, people were like, well, where's your boat paintings? And it was really hard. I got a lot of flack from people like, you know, abstract painters aren't real artists. And that actually kind of motivated me even more because I was like, yeah, sure. Do you have any idea how hard this is? Nice try. And
yeah.
It kind of opened a whole door for me. But it's interesting because I get in these kind of unmotivated points with two things, not just my painting, but also with the marketing side, because I spend so much time doing it. And what I find is if I spend a whole bunch of time painting, then obviously the marketing lacks, or if I spend too much time marketing, the painting lacks. And I still haven't found a great balance. And, you know, I am so happy that I shook things up, if you will, you know, gosh, over a year ago with the abstracts. But, I mean, it's a hard place when you're either not motivated, you feel like you're in a rut, you're questioning your abilities. That's one of the things that always comes up, and that's the hardest one. Because that gets a little scary, but it's
you know,
really, you know.
Some,
go ahead.
Something that I think it's important to interject at this point is you have to remember that one step backwards sometimes for two steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
And in art, people always expect, you know, whether they're, you know, painters or they do printmaking or sculptor, whatever, you always expect that it's going to be a trajectory up in terms of skill. But oftentimes you kind of have to, you have to rethink things, and maybe you do try something different. You may go back to what you were doing. I don't know. I just feel like it's okay for things to fall apart for a little while because that's part of the next breakthrough. So it's not uncommon, but I wish we could all get out of our heads.
I know. But imagine if you didn't have these times. I don't think any of us would be doing near as well as we are, because it's when you start to question yourself, it's when you start to doubt yourself, that that internal side of you pushes you maybe in a new direction. And that is the only way you're going to find a path that might lead to a place where you are happier than you ever could be. And I think it's so important to understand that this is it's all about the journey. It's not about the destination. I mean, who knows what the destination is? Is it selling a lot? Is it being in a museum? Is it loving what you do? I hope that's the one. But to get there, you can't just like be on this upwards, you know, hill all the time, becoming better and better and better. You have to plateau. You have to drop. You have to turn left or turn right, because that's
going
to take
you
to that place that you
need. I agree.
Yeah. So it's kind of important to realize that, okay, yeah, this is just one of those things. It's like my husband and his job. He's a real estate commercial real estate guy. So he would, you know, every few years he would literally walk in the door and say, I'm kind of worried, you know, things aren't happening. And after about the 10th time he said that, and then it got really, really good, it kind of became a joke in our relationship that when he would say it, I would be like, oh, yeah, this means things are going to be super great. And he would laugh. And it's kind of like that was the truth.
So we need someone to say that to us.
Way, I know. Maybe it's the way you give yourself a little kick in the butt when you're at that at that point. Because what happens is it usually causes us internally or forces us to kind of start looking around. And it's a good thing that this happens. So as I mentioned, we have 22 things here. And we're going to trade off. I'm going to be odd, you're even. But first I want to say the first thing you have to do, and it's really easy, is you just have to accept what's happening. I mean, in any job, let's say you're at a desk job, you're going to have doubts and frustrations, but in most jobs you'll still show up, you'll go to work, you'll collect a paycheck. It's a little harder when you're an artist because we have to create our product. And creating wonderful art, which is what I hope we all strive to do, is not easy when you're in a rut.
Away.
I know.
Keep going. I'll be right back.
Okay. So I think it's almost impossible for you to not question yourself. And when you hit this moment, you have to say, okay, I get it. This is an important thing that has to happen in my career. And that's kind of all the more reason for you to accept that you're in a rut. So first thing you have to do is understand that you have to accept it and recognize it, because it's the only way you're going to get out of it. And you can realize that this happens to every artist, even the top selling ones, even the greatest and the most talented artists out there. And it happens to everybody. So don't feel like you're the only one facing this. And I mentioned earlier in the show, I've seen a lot of artists publicly mention this on Facebook. And I think the first couple of times I was like, whoa, I can't believe they did that. And all it is an artist reaching out, kind of needing to know from everybody that they're not the only one that's going through this. So I applaud those artists who were brave enough to kind of go out publicly and talk about some of these struggles. And it was funny because one of them is this really successful artist. And at first I was like, are you kidding me? She's amazing. She sells all her paintings. How could that be? And I stopped for a second and thought, you know what? She's human. She's just like the rest of us. And she's going through this phase where she's not motivated. She's doubting herself. And I get it. So
what
happens
do you
to all
do?
Of us.
Do you reach out to someone like that? Or do you sort of, I mean, because on the one hand, sometimes it looks almost like pandering for compliments when someone is public.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. Yeah, how do you tell?
What's
the right way to handle that?
I think you have to empathize with them and understand, put yourself in their shoes, and then you know exactly what they're going for. They're not pandering for compliments. They're just reaching out for help. And that is
right.
And they want help from the standpoint of telling them this happens to everybody. And the problem with our job is it's a very lonely job. I mean, most artists spend all day long in a studio or out plein air painting by themselves. And so you don't get
so
that.
True.
You don't have somebody to reach to. So the first thing you want to do is try to figure out what the problem is. You have to get to the root of the problem. You can't just say, oh, I'm frustrated. Instead, you kind of need to dig deep and figure out what's making you feel frustrated. Because as I mentioned, I was tired of painting boats, and they were selling well, and I liked the painting. But I was a little afraid to try something else because I had such a good thing going. And when I get in those moods where I'm like down and I don't want to go to my studio, I have to think about what it is. And it could be my studio's a disaster because we had our Christmas party and half our house got moved into my studio. I went through that in January. I'm trying to paint 30 paintings. I'm like, are you kidding me? And if I would have just taken the time and grabbed my husband and one of my sons and said, get this stuff out of here, it would have made all the difference in the world.
Interesting.
But you have to understand and go to the root and figure out what it is. And most of us, it's a comment or something negative we picked up about our art. And you hear it and you know, you read it, whatever it is, and just recognize what the problem is, because then you can kind of deal with it and put it into perspective, because a lot of times it's something really small and it's not that bad.
I hadn't really thought about that, but you're right. One small negative comment, we always know, we all focus on, you know, you can have 100 compliments that are good, but then that one bad one really sticks. And the truth is, maybe that's a great time to reach out and say something about it. I've seen people do that on Facebook, and everyone comes back and will say, you know, let it go. And sometimes you do need that. You need that reinforcement. Anyway, there's a whole, I think, pile of sort of common problems. And we're going to mention some of them, and I'm sure that the people that are listening are going to be nodding because I know I did. The first one is you can develop a lack of confidence because you're not selling. And at this point, I just want to say, don't forget what Leslie says. If your art's not selling, it's because enough people aren't seeing it. But I think that's a big source of problems. The next one is that life can get in the way. And I know this happens to every single artist I know. And I'm sure there's a million ways to deal with it. But I have to say that sometimes you got to let life get in the way because it just does. And deal with what you have to deal with and you can move on. But common thing. Another one is financial pressures. Not everyone has a trust fund or a patron or, you know, sells so well that money is not a problem. And,
really.
And we all know what that tube of cobalt blue costs. But financial pressures are very real. And talk about something that can knock you off your creative path. I think that's a very, very credible problem that people have. And another one, which is probably a lot more mundane, but just as real, is that you can get bored with your subject matter. And I think it's important to recognize that. Another problem is being bored with your medium. And God knows there are solutions out there. But we'll get into that a little more, I think, as we go along. The truth is that sometimes a lot of these things become just sort of comfort items. And without even thinking, you know, you're sort of being repetitive in ways that, you know, you wouldn't eat cornflakes for every meal. And maybe it's okay to reach out, you know?
That's great.
Let's get into this next problem. This is a doozy.
My fault.
You can feel overwhelmed with marketing. Leslie, I come away from our shows with a to-do list. I would say 3 out of every 4 shows, and I have resolutions. And once I start doing it, I can feel like it's all I'm doing. So it's something that's very real, and I think plans need to be put in place. Brings me to my next one. Why?
Well, I was just going to say I'm being overwhelmed with marketing. There is so much you can do, and you have to take it a little tiny bit at a time and not be worrying about, oh my gosh, what I'm not doing. Be happy with what you are doing. It's really important.
Yeah. And you know, it kind of relates back to financial pressures and lack of confidence and all of that. If you're overwhelmed with the marketing, figure out if there's one little piece that's going to work for you and focus on just one at a time.
Right.
But I love the next problem because I feel like you were standing behind me this last week, spending too much time on social media. I was determined to understand Instagram in a way I never had before. And so I was researching and following lines and trying to comment and reading comments, responding to comments and looking, ooh, look at someone else's work and this is interesting. But boy, you can suck up a lot of time doing that. So spending too much time on social media is a very real problem for me. I'm just going to acknowledge it.
I'm not even going to participate in this conversation if you knew how much time I was spending on social media right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. 3,000.
Go ahead.
Comparing yourself to other artists who are selling. This, you know, all I can say is sometimes it's subject matter. Sometimes it's luck. Sometimes it's someone who has good, you know, maybe social connections, or they're just a very social person. But it doesn't matter what the reason is. once you start that comparing, unless you're learning from someone else's success, that's one thing. But if you're comparing yourself to someone else and just starting to feel bad about yourself or your art, that is a real problem. And it's worth figuring it out, because you're going to just be stalemated until you do. I think that I should have put this after the other one, as much as spending too much time on social media is an issue, so is sometimes having a lack of knowledge about social media. And people can feel frozen. And I think, I just want to say, we do our best to try and break it down. But there are a lot of resources out there. And for some people, I just want to put this out there, the best way to learn, it's just like being in school, in math class. Sometimes you can see it on the board and you can hear it described, but unless someone's sitting next to you and says, taps the place in the equation and says, no, just hit that there. You know, you need to multiply that. And you go, oh, I think with social media, if you're not getting it, find someone who does and ask them to spend a little bit of time with you, just showing you one or two things.
Mm-hmm.
But people are frozen.
Like your children.
Yes, and you
one
know what?
Children.
If you don't have children, borrow one. You can
right.
You can borrow one.
Nephew,
you
niece,
might have a niece,
neighbor.
A nephew, the kid next door, the
yeah.
babysitter, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's like swimming. They're naturals.
Yes.
Yeah, here we go. Now we're talking about Margaret in this next one. Common
yeah.
problems
can you tell
include
where I got this idea?
Yeah, me. New hobbies, interests, and opportunities that aren't necessarily your art. And I went through a period of feeling really badly. Like I would look at the clock and say to myself, I'm only going to do this, you know, whether it was drawing or practice thing, these letters or things, I'm only going to do this until noon. Then I'll have lunch and I'll go into the studio and suddenly it would be supper time. I decided guilt is a very big problem there, and I just I banished it. I said, this is just for now. But it's like it's a distraction. And part of this is figuring out, I mean, it's a very complicated problem, figuring out how much you need to spend in your studio. In other words, not only to make yourself happy, but if you have deadlines or commissions or a show that you're trying to prepare for, then I think you have to have some discipline. But other than that, my personal mantra is give yourself a break. Oh, how about this problem? Spending too much time on marketing.
Ding, 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 ding. That's my problem.
Well,
it is.
If you reach a certain success point, you can get other people to do it for you. But until then, you know, this is time management, I think, is the biggest issue besides, you know, maybe it comes after confidence to paint. If you have the confidence to squirt out the paint and step up to a blank surface, that's number one. If people want to know how to get better at their art, that's number one. Number two is time management. And if you're trying to sell, even if you're just trying to get into a gallery so they'll sell for you, you just have to spend some time on the business of art. And I don't like it either, but again, without patrons, this, you know, there are no Medici running around looking for painters to sponsor. So I think, you know, this is, it's sort of the harsh reality. Again, maybe others have a way around it, but I think the biggest mistake is to avoid it entirely. Like, no one
right.
out there should be ignoring marketing. You have to have
no.
to painting go
no,
somewhere.
You. Yes, that's true. So once, I mean, I think Margaret did a great job kind of sharing some of the things that can cause this unrest.
Mm.
And what you need to do, and don't necessarily wait until you're in one of these kind of low times, but you need to sit down and remind yourself how good you are. And I would do this when you're feeling on top of the world, because you're going to need to come back to this in some point in time, I guarantee it. So you can make a list of your strengths and write down, what am I good at? And write that down and think about, you know, when you've helped other artists and all the good things that you do and your best painting, and write down those thoughts. And these are obviously personal thoughts. You're probably not going to share them, which is great, but have those available that you can read them when you need to. If you're in a bad place, hang up your good art in your studio and hide the bad stuff. I can't tell you how many artists, when they go to their studio, like, oh, I don't like that. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Okay, over here, here's one I really like. And you mm-hmm. have to get rid of the bad stuff. Go put it somewhere else. Throw it away. You know, scratch it up, whatever you want to do. Because those bad paintings, if you stare at them all day long in your studio, they're going to affect you. Put the good stuff up. I think it's really, really important. And then something I wish I would have done and I've never done, but create a folder in your computer where you can store all of those emails of I love your art or you've helped me so much or, you know, mm-hmm. great comments that you've gotten on Facebook, because you can actually use those in places. You know, testimonials are a great thing to have. And after I did my boot camp in Waco last year, I had so many amazing comments, and even then I didn't organize those, which was really dumb, but I wish I would have, because you can also learn from them. You can also read and think, oh, wow, everyone talked about this. So now I know that's something I should probably really enhance because it affected everyone. So it's just really key to sit down, especially when you're in those low points, and look back and think about all the things that are great, because everyone is great, and hopefully they'll know that.
You know, you made me think of something just then when you said, you know, remind yourself, you know, write it down, put your good artwork up.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself, and I'm telling you, I think this is going to be a trend. I find myself looking at folks who have brand new studios or have just, you know, cleaned out or renovated their studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the blank walls. I went to visit an artist about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. She invited me to see her studio, and when I walked in, it was empty on the walls, all of the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this hunger for empty walls. And I suddenly thought, ooh, having nothing kind of frees you up to create something that's, you know, without any influence. And that was really cool. But on the way out of her studio, I noticed like a whiteboard. And on it, she had written 4 goals for the year. And it was, you know, it's that old thing. If you write down your goals, and they're more likely to, you know, become reality. And I just thought.
Mine are my screensaver on my computer.
Oh, gosh, of course it
yeah.
is. But I did think,
hey,
you know.
Hey, don't laugh at me.
I do. Now, are you kidding? You're going to have 3,000 people doing that today, and I will be number 3,001. But it's true, like that visual reminder of the good, and also for me, the lack of clutter is a great thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, in terms of what you should do, I love the idea that you're going to remind yourself of what you do well. But the other thing is... this tip is to paint only for yourself and nobody else. And I think that goes back to this pigeonholed feeling that some artists have, where they feel they're expected to paint a certain medium or genre or color palette even. You know, paint what you want, because it's part of this growth. And I think even if it's something that you know no one would ever buy, who cares? If you need to paint it,
right.
get it out there, and then you can kind of scratch that itch and keep going, move on.
Yeah, it's something that you need to do for yourself, and maybe it's not long term, maybe it's short term.
Right,
painting,
very
as,
short.
As you said, painting for yourself and nobody else will kind of help you get out of that, because a lot of time these bad feelings are pressures you have, commission you're struggling on, galleries that want certain kinds of art, whatever it may be. If you just stop and say, whoa, and you start painting for yourself, even in a couple of days, I think you'll notice a difference, which helps a ton. But this next thing is to take an official painting vacation. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go hop on a cruise or on a plane and go to Hawaii. Just take a vacation from painting, one that you're not allowed to feel guilty about, and one that's got a specific start date and an end date. So let's say you're really struggling, you're really upset, and you're going to take a break. Take a week. So you know what? For 7 days, I'm not going to think about my art. I'm going to do everything else that I want to do. And by next Sunday, my vacation's over, and I'm going to go back to work. And it's just gives you the ability to not feel guilty, because that's 99% of the problem, is that guilt that's there for not doing something. And try other things. Explore. Go hiking. And hopefully and most likely you're going to miss it. But you need a guilt-free time when you're not in your studio, and you're not painting, you're not even worrying about painting. And it's really healthy. Everyone takes a vacation from their job. But I don't think
that's right.
Do.
No, it's
and
true.
And we live and breathe it.
And
most
why
of us
not?
Have studios in our homes. So it's there all the time.
That's true. How great to be able to like return to the studio fired up, anxious to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be antsy to paint would be, I'm just thinking about so many people I know who set a date, you know, particularly with the holidays, will say, you know what, starting January 1st, I'm back in there. And then for whatever reason, they don't go. And I'm reminded of Jenny Nelson. When we interviewed her, she said even the days she doesn't feel like painting, she makes herself go into the studio because just showing up is enough to get her going. So
who did we interview? Were you on the interview? We interviewed an artist who takes like all of November and December off.
Yes.
Were you on that? I can't remember who it was.
I think it might
was
have been
a gentleman.
Joe McGurl.
You have a way better memory.
It
than
might
I
have
do.
Been Joe McGurl who said
I was so,
that he
I
just,
was like in awe. 8 weeks off at the end of the year.
I understand that because then
I do too,
know,
and I think I need to figure out a way to do it.
You will never do that, my friend. I hope everyone listening is laughing along with me. Oh, sure, Leslie. Just take a few months off. I'd like to see that.
Stop it.
You'd be like a caged animal.
I would love to do that. I love that. I really do. So,
well,
anyway,
maybe that's your
take a painting vacation.
Take a painting vacation. And the next tip we have to help with this is, and I know we've talked about this before, but I have to tell you, I did it last week, and it did work for me. Visit art museums or read an art book and, you know, pull out some of the old art magazines you saved. There was a reason you saved them, and you probably have.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone's like me, you know, I buy so many art books. Can I just say I just purchased George Bush's book? And
I knew you would.
I had to. I saw that interview. If people haven't seen it, there's a clip online, and he's with Jimmy Kimmel. And first of all, I don't remember him being that cool and relaxed, but he certainly is. And he talks about how he decided to pick up painting for no one but himself. And when I heard that all of the proceeds from the book was being donated to help veterans, I thought, I'm in. You know, I want to see this.
Yeah,
but let me tell you,
course.
Paintings are really interesting. And after that, it's true. You do. You look and, you know, you sort of see something that catches your eye. You know, I could look at Rose Franson's book on Maquoketa any day of the week, and
sure.
It makes me want to paint portraits. But, you know, walking into a museum and spending, give yourself 1 hour. You don't have to do the whole museum, for God's sake. Pick one artist or one wing or one room that you want to look at. And it just gets you you just feel privileged to be part of the world that paints, let alone do it yourself. But that does it for me every time.
That's awesome. When I was struggling with abstract art and questioning my abilities, I actually went to an abstract museum and walked out of there feeling so much better about what I did. Because I realized it's such an interesting form of art, and it means so many different things to so many people. And it really helped me. I really felt like, okay, I am on the right track, and I am doing the right thing. It's very interesting.
Good.
Okay, the next thing you should do, if you're kind of feeling down and out, is try painting something you've always wanted to paint. And this is me time now. And, you know, if you've got some deadlines, maybe you need to call them and say, hey, is it okay if I get another 2 weeks? If not, finish what you have to do and then take this time. But paint something you have always wanted to paint. And that's what I did with the abstracts. I'd always wanted to paint them. And I started painting them, and some of them were really bad. But I kind of just started playing. And then I found myself laughing in my studio. I was laughing at what I was doing. I thought if anyone came in and heard me, they'd think something was wrong with me because I'm laughing out loud. Going, I can't believe
isn't
this is painting.
Great.
This is so much fun. And I can't believe how hard it is. But there's something out there that we've all wished that we could paint, but we couldn't because we were kind of stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
So give it a try.
I mean, a lot of, yeah. And, you know, there's no such thing as failing, and especially since no one needs to know about it. Do you know,
mm-hmm.
paint what you want to paint.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, wipe it, cover it over. Yeah. Enjoy it
Definitely.
Anyway. Okay, this is one that I practice and I preach, which is get together with a group of artists. Leslie says to me, only if they're fun and happy. And I
and
think
happy.
That's partially true. We try. I actually have a couple of artist groups now, and I will be honest, I did it largely because of the sort of isolation of painting. You know, I think I could give everybody a list that anyone who stays to themselves and paints a lot will be nodding their heads. You know, you find that when you see people,
mm-hmm.
you talk too much, you find you repeat yourself, you find you get so excited, you never quiet down. So
right.
anyway, if you can get together with a group of artists, it gives you not only permission to talk about art without, you know, boring
mm-hmm.
friends and family, but it also is sort of a mutual support and inspiration. And I think,
yeah.
you know, happy artists are sort of, it's infectious. And when you see people that are struggling, you know, you want to sort of help them through it because everyone's been there. And I think the odd thing that is motivating for me, I know not every art group does a group crit. We are truthful but never cruel, and we are always supportive.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is it gives me a deadline, and I am very deadline-driven. Always have been. I work well under pressure, and I will. You know, I have art group next Monday night, and let me tell you, I'm already thinking, what am I going to bring? I wonder if I should tweak that one. And it kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just a good motivating factor. So I highly, highly recommend it. And you can even do one online with artists you know but have never met through Facebook. There are ways of doing these.
Mm-hmm.
So think about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. The next is try painting at a different time in the day. You're going to laugh. So when I first got to know Dreema and I was just starting out, she is a night painter. She paints her best painting really late into the night. So I assumed that's when you needed to paint, right? She's a painter, makes beautiful paintings. So I was doing that, and I'm not a night painter. I get tired at night. I'm really great on the computer in the evening, but I also have a husband who doesn't, you know, he likes to have me around and not painting all night long. And I finally figured that out. But it may be that you're not in the right zone time, if you will, or time zone when you're painting. And so it's really important to identify when that is. Are you a morning painter? Are you an afternoon painter? Or are you an evening painter? And it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It just matters on what's best for you. And if you switch it up a little bit, it might be a really good thing. Maybe you don't know. So give it a try.
That's exactly true. I used to be a night person. I've turned into a morning person.
No, I'm completely a morning person.
And
yeah.
it happens when you least expect it, folks. It just happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our next tip. And this is, I think, a very, very good one. It's almost like an exercise. is
this
to
one
block
came
out
at
your schedule.
30,000 feet.
yeah. All right.
I don't know where it came
block
from.
out your schedule for the next week, and only allow yourself to paint for sort of a shorter period of time each day, because then when you're going to be watching the clock. When you're at your deadline time, you have to stop painting. It's almost like Top Chef, you know, knife
yeah, not
down.
Negotiable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and the idea here is that it actually creates a situation where you want to paint again. And then I have to say, for me, sometimes knowing I have a limited amount of time, it's just like that painting exercise where you only give yourself 20 strokes to paint something.
Right.
And, you know,
yes.
it's really a good exercise. It ends up being much more spontaneous and not as labored over. But the other thing is you
mm-hmm.
realize – sometimes if you can turn off a little piece of your brain because, you know, there's a time constraint, you're going to, like, it's a whole new form of energy. That's a great, great tip. And I read your blog this morning, Leslie, so seems to me your schedule is booked solid. Your schedule, you wrote on your blog about all the things that you had to do this week and that you had gotten them done. And I just thought, oh, dear, I don't know how you did it. But I'm thinking that you were on, you know, a tight schedule, complete with your Apple Watch ringing in order to get those things done.
So
paintings
true.
And moving
Another
things.
Thing,
and, oh.
I know. I have to say I'm excited. We went to my parents' house day before yesterday, because they're moving, and my siblings and I kind of all selected what we wanted to take home and become part of our own personal things. Because when you move and you have a whole house full of stuff, and it was the most incredible experience ever. My dad was worried that we were going to argue or whatever. We don't have that kind of a relationship, but sometimes it can be tough. And everyone was so gracious, and I feel like I have these new treasures, and I can't wait to get home and put them and add them to my home. But they're amazing. Yeah, it's really fun.
You brought them all into the farmhouse, huh?
I did, and they're all in my living room on the floor. My dad collected antique scales, and
Fun.
So we've got my parents were they had really great taste. there's just some beautiful things. I'm overwhelmed. It's like Christmas times 100, and it's really amazing. So, but we got it done, which is great. Okay, the next thing is here it is. You need to spend some time looking at your best paintings, whether it's your website, in your studio, wherever they are. Go back and look and remember the times where you kicked ass and really painted some great things, because sometimes we forget about that. And one of the big things that'll knock you down is when you're scraping and scraping and scraping and things aren't going right, and you're thinking you forgot how to paint, you don't know what you're doing, why am I in here, who, no one wants to buy my art, and just spirals down farther and farther. Take a break and start reminding yourself and look at those brilliant paintings that you created, because it's there inside of you. You just have to get it out and find it. And I
it's
think
true.
It's a really
and it,
healthy thing to do.
And
really
people
healthy.
Worry so much that they can only do it once. You know, well, I did that painting, but it's almost like they think it was an accident. It's not an accident.
Yes.
You just need to keep going you'll hit that stride again. That's the beauty of this
world. And that
world.
Will become the norm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So true.
All right.
That's funny.
Now, this one is... As I kept telling Leslie wrote most of the show, all of it, and I said, I feel like you were sitting on my shoulder. Our next tip is to try a new medium.
I was sitting on an airplane, but close.
Oh, my gosh. Try a new medium. So here I am. I am now I won't call myself an expert. I'm probably, my husband would say, I'm an expert at buying different kinds of inks and pens and nibs and papers. And I'm very frugal with the paper. I do flip it over and use the back. But the other thing I've found, you know, you can try a new medium, and I'm betting for a lot of the people who listen to this show that they have old art supplies. And this is not one word of a lie. Last night I pulled out a bin and found some... two things that I bought in high school, and I am not 40 years old. much further away from high
She's
school
younger.
Than that, thank you very much. And I was using some Caran d'Ache water-soluble pencils, and I started working with those. And I found some Conti crayons, and I put those aside for when I go to figure drawing. But the truth is, you probably have stuff that you bought. I went looking for watercolors, and I found some of those. And then I found a whole box of gouache that I had never cracked. Well, I did now, and I sort of have a new appreciation for the medium and what it can do. My point is, I bet you have the materials somewhere. And if you don't have to invest a lot of money into trying something new. I mean, you could, if you wanted to try acrylic paint, go buy, you know, the very basics. Buy, you know, white, blue, red, yellow, a warm, a cool, and sort of play with it. And see, it's another way to kind of ignite the fire, particularly if you're feeling like everything you do is expected. The best way to shake it up is to force yourself to try to achieve something with a material, especially if you're not comfortable with it. I say go for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah,
well, thanks, Leslie.
So along those lines is paint a different subject matter. Because it's really important not to paint the same thing over and over. And even when, because here's the problem. Let's say you paint boats. Can't imagine doing that. And you kind of get in that rut and everyone wants to see your next boat painting. Well, don't let people keep you in that rut. There is nothing wrong if one day you wake up and you say, okay, I'm going to paint an interior interiors painting with some wonderful light coming in through the window. Those, I mean, that's an awesome thing to paint. And it's going to be different, and people maybe will be like, oh, it's not a boat, but who cares?
And who cares?
Try some other things, because you may discover something that it's that creative side of you that just jumps out. And it's not until it happens that you understand how exciting it is. And that's what you're lacking. And the only way you're going to do that, and what is so cool about this concept, is that may be what defines you in the future and brings you a huge amount of success, whether it's personal, whether it's selling, whatever. And if had you not struggled, you never would have gone down that path.
Yep.
And how cool is that? I mean, that's awesome. So just don't be shy. And you don't have to even, you don't even have to share it with anybody. Do it on your own, you know, just play.
Best
you know,
feeling
don't
in
make
the world.
It, oh, here's my new thing. Just play, have fun, but try new subject matter. I think it's really important. Try plein air if you're a studio painter. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's an incredible thing to do. So
it's
just
true. I know. Sometimes you just need to be outside wearing sunblock, of course, and a hat and an umbrella.
Yeah.
That's my dibs for protect your skin. We talked a little bit about this, but I just wanted to say, clarify a little. When I suggest you maybe shake up your color palette, I don't necessarily mean, you know, if you're typically a colorist and you use lots of color to try and mute it down, I mean, that's fine. But why not try black and white? Why not you sort of do something that's, you know, far afield? Because sometimes you will discover things about your drawing or about your composition when you kind of break it down. I think doing, you know, a few exercises, even small ones, and I mean really small, 4x4 sketches, whatever, in black and white. And it can really, it's that old exercise. I remember when I first got to RISD, Rhode Island School of Design, we had this, you know, design course. And the first thing they did was they had you, and in fact we were using India ink and illustration board. And you had to draw something, I don't know. And then you had to break it down to a simpler form and then break it down. And it became very graphic. So maybe if it was, you know, let's say an egg on a white surface, by the end it was just maybe the only thing left was the white of the highlight. I mean, you really kept going. But what a great exercise to force yourself to just think in a new way because I can tell you that those small changes which seems so simple, will change your future paintings in ways that you just can't even really realize when you're doing it.
The next one is paint a painting for yourself. And say, you know what?
That.
You might, good for you. You might think, you know, every time I walk in my house, there's that blank wall. Well, darn it, paint a painting for yourself. Because you know exactly what you want. And if you do a lot of commissions and you're so tired of painting for other people, paint one for yourself. And that'll bring back a ton of joy, I promise, as long as you're a nice client.
And you pay on time.
Yes, exactly.
No, it's true.
Exactly.
And I stared at the fireplace in our living room, and I thought, none of the what art that we had worked. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I know what I want to paint there. And I have to tell you, I love it. I love
Yay!
It. So there you go.
Awesome. Good
All right, go ahead, folks. I'm giving you permission. Try something new that is art-related but not painting. And I have a strong feeling about this. I think one of the best things you can do.
I was thinking about you this whole time I wrote this show.
Were you
so
good?
You know.
and I'm not going to talk about calligraphy or lettering, in fact, but I think printmaking. You know, when you go to school and you're sort of studying to get like a BFA, you know, we took classes, you know, foundation classes and drawing and all that. But then you got to the point where you took a little bit in sort of the major disciplines, because how did you know for sure what you were going to like? So you did some sculpture, you did some ceramics, and it was printmaking that was, I think, most closely related to drawing and painting, but it, again, I'm going back to this thing, it forces you to think in another way. And with printmaking, you also have to think in the reverse. You want to give your brain a little exercise? Remember that what is right will be left. You know, what's positive will be negative.
Yeah.
Printmaking, go That's take right. a printmaking class. Even if you are awful at it, you will find such a renewed flow of energy, I am convinced. So if it can't be printmaking, fine, go do something else. You know, maybe you've always wanted to try to throw a pot, and that's its own wonderful zen. But there are some wonderful things you can do out there. And this goes back to, you know, sort of the struggle I had, which was taking this little break from my studio. I recognized it's wildly creative. I can tell from what I feel when I do it. And I had to remember that it's okay. Sometimes something different can reinforce, you know, your first and strongest love. So try something new.
Along those lines, sign up for an art workshop, especially if you are a teacher. I can't tell you, when I took an abstract workshop, first of all, I tried to be incognito, because I was a little intimidated that I was trying something totally new and I was going to suck at it. And I'm a teacher, which lasted like 1 minute. And the girl behind me said, "Wait, I recognize your voice. Are you the Leslie from the Off Show?" And I was like, "Oh God." But anyway,
Busted.
It was the greatest thing in the world. Do you know how much fun it is to be a student and not have to be in charge and not have to worry about everyone and make sure everyone's happy and teach and da 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 da? It was awesome. And it was one of the best things I've ever done. And it, I mean, it's continuing education is something you hear about all the time. Teachers, I mean, everyone in every business does it. And as an artist, you absolutely need continuing education. If anything, it may make you feel so much better about where you're at. And it may make you feel so much better about your teaching, because you'll realize, wow, you know, I thought I wasn't doing that well in my workshops, but I'm doing pretty well. Compared to, you know, this other person who's so popular, and you'll learn from them, which is fantastic. But just sign up, because it's kind of nice to learn something and for you to be the student and not have the pressure. And it'll be, I think it'll make a huge significant change in your outlook and your confidence.
That is great. I looked on my phone because I saw yesterday Lori Putnam, who I think everybody, if you don't know her work, you should look at it. She's a wonderful, mostly landscape painter. And she posted a picture. It was a portrait painting, right? She had taken Jeff Hines' workshop. And I mentioned to her, I just love when I see, you know, sort of established artists out there showing that, you know, the learning never stops. And it was interesting. Like, we talked a little bit about how it's nice to see, like, to take something that's totally different from what you do, just because, you know, your style should always be evolving.
Right.
So I think, you know, the best among us. I mean, Scott Christensen takes workshops. Everybody should take workshops.
Yeah.
It's.
Can you imagine if you showed up to a workshop you were teaching?
No, I would just absolutely die. Plus, you know, I think we both admit we kind of sort of have a little crush on him, so that would be distracting. I'd give him an A.
Of course you would, Margaret.
Of course I would. All right. How about, and I do this, and I want you to know this is, there's a historical, what's the word I want? Sort of, there's a precedent.
Significance? I don't know.
Yeah, a precedent.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Artists do
this. I thought I was making this up.
Which is select one of your best and most favorite paintings. And I think it really should be your favorite painting. And go ahead and paint it again. Only change up the size. I mean, we know if you do a little plein air study outside, it might only be 5x7 or 6x8. Bring it in and try it at 1824 or 2436. Try it with a different color palette. You know, if you did it in oil, try it in watercolor. Just try it. If you're a brush painter, try the palette knife and see how it changes. It is, especially if you're stuck, it's great. And in fact, I went for something last year, I'm doing it again this year, which is a portfolio review. I had this wonderful woman, Catherine French, who's she's run museums here in the Northeast, and we talked a lot, and I said, you know, I'm not sure about this. I've painted this same seen a couple of times, and she was so confident in her reinforcement of that practice. She said, "Are you kidding? Think about how many times, you know, the impressionists would paint the same scene. There's always a change of color, change of temperature." And, you know, it sort of gave me permission. And what I want to say is,
right,
I feel like I could, I think I'd go crazy, but I, in my fantasy, I would love to do that. Was it Kevin McPherson? He painted
the
same spot
every day
on the pond,
yeah,
in, on every day of the year. I mean, it took him a couple of years to do it because certain dates he was missing, so he had to do it the following year. But there's 365 days of this scene, and you can see the shift in color and light and the seasons, and it, what a great exercise. But I think any way you can do this, if you're stuck, this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is like a vitamin shot. This is the best thing you can try, and it will keep you painting when you don't want to.
Okay. The next one is stay out of your studio and instead spend time on the computer marketing your art. And then you're thinking, ah, a lot of the guilt you have in your mind is that you're not doing this, so just do it. Find your audience. Work on your website. You know, post some of your best art on social media. Just start sharing your art, because as Margaret said, my favorite line is, if you're not selling your art, it's not, most likely it's not the quality of your art, it's the fact that nobody's seeing it. So get people seeing it. And what it may not, you may not get the results immediately. I mean, it's kind of funny, in January, or I guess it was in February, I was like, gosh, I just painted 30 paintings in 30 days. My sales are kind of, and it's kind of like I said about my husband, when he starts complaining and saying nothing's going on, then it all, you know, works out fine. And then all of a sudden, boom, all this work I had done last fall and stuff I had done in January. I mean, this woman calls me from a dress shop and wants all these paintings because she saw the paintings I did for my Project Runway 30 and 30. And I was like, oh, my God, someone actually was paying attention.
Isn't that
and
great?
It's like, yay. So if that, maybe that's what you need to do. And it's kind of fun. Just don't be overwhelmed. Take a step at a time. But, yeah, it's totally worth it. It does pay off.
Do that on one of those days where you're only going to give yourself 20 minutes to paint.
Right. Exactly.
Do a 20-minute exercise, have the little alarm go off, and then sit down and do your marketing. You'll probably it's kind of like cleaning your house. Sometimes you just have to decide it's going to be Thursday morning, and that's it. And that's what you're doing. And if you can do that, put it out of the way, now you don't have to think about it anymore. And on that note, go ahead and clean up and rearrange your studio. I am telling you, right now, my husband says my style of big cleaning is to get a dumpster, and it's true. Because the first thing I like to do is get rid of the extra stuff. You know, it's sort of like that exercise with the black and white. You can always pare down, always pare down. Of course, here I am confessing to having art supplies that are 40 years old. But nevertheless, I think that if you go into your studio and you don't feel like painting, fine. But you're in there. Go ahead and clean it up. And if there's a way to move some of the clutter out, I'm telling you, after going into that studio, I am just hankering for clean walls. And I'm going to try and figure that out. But it energizes you in a new way to be in the space.
Well, when it's clean and organized, you want to go in there and paint. So that was one of the problems I was having last month, is I was still trying to get stuff out of my studio that had gotten moved in there from our Christmas party. Hello.
Yeah.
So I get it all clean. It's great. And then I get 6 canvases delivered, the smallest of which is 48 by 48. The largest is 8 feet by 6 feet. And there's 2 of them.
Wow.
Now I go in my studio and it's like claustrophobia, because they're everywhere and they're leaned up against the walls, blocking my windows, and I just want them out of there. So Monday, 3 of them are getting picked up and delivered to a client, but the really big ones are still there. I'm like, oh my goodness. So yeah, no, that's really important. I agree. Okay, you're going to laugh at this next one.
No, I'm not. It is my life.
I kind of like some distractions when I'm painting. And I love to binge watch something on TV. And here's the reason why. Once you've watched a couple of episodes, number one, you don't have to look at the TV. You can just kind of listen to it, because you know who everyone is on the show. But after you've also watched a couple of episodes, make a rule that you cannot watch it unless you're in your studio painting. I watched one January, like 14 seasons of The West Wing, which I'd already seen, but I loved that show. And back then, each season had like 22 episodes. And I was so, I mean, I found myself in painting in the studio 11:30 at night because I wanted to watch the show. And I got more done. It was fantastic. So I did that with Downton Abbey one time in the 30 and 30. And I was just like, I have to go in and paint because I have to see what happens to, you know, Mary. And it's like, sounds so ridiculous. And it makes, I think I like it because I don't feel like I'm painting by myself all the time. You know?
Ah.
And it sounds silly, but I swear it works. It really does.
Well,
but you do that too, Margaret? Not just me?
I do. And it's funny because West Wing, for a while, there was my go-to. But, you know, with Netflix and people have Amazon Prime or On Demand, you can do that and really enjoy it. I've got a few, I've had a few shows that I've been kind of addicted to. The problem is some of them haven't been picked up, but I'll get over it.
I'm waiting, counting down the days till House of Cards comes on, and maybe it hasn't. I just missed it, but I'm waiting for the new season, and that'll be worth another 10 or 15 paintings.
I love it. We can tell what you're watching by your palette.
Exactly. So true.
Well, I'm about to make another confession. Gosh, this show has been full of Margaret's confessions. Make a new playlist on iTunes or Pandora of all your favorite songs to listen to while you're painting. Switch it up a bit if you always listen to the same music. All right. My husband looks at me now and rolls his eyes when he hears dun, da, 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 dun, 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 which means I am about to listen to the soundtrack from Hamilton again. But I just love it. I mean, it's to the point where, really, he flees the room. And we have Sonos, so I make sure it's not playing where he is. But
yes, so we have Sonos, too.
I just love it. And I can envision all the characters, and I just paint along. And I feel like there is that thing that happens where, like, a little corner of your brain is there. It's not like I'm humming along or anything. Oh, I do. But I just love it. So, yes. Pandora, it can be wonderful because you never know what's coming next. You know, your favorite, I have one that's Studio Energy Up is the title of the playlist.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I know I really need to do something to bring it together. But I think that, you know, everyone can find something. And don't overlook those Broadway show tunes. They can be really inspiring.
Oh, wow. Wow. I agree. Just it's just nice not being in your studio all by yourself. But no, I love it. This has been a good show, even though I wrote it and I sound kind of conceited. But I told Margaret I need to write shows when I'm on airplanes because there's something about not having distractions and just kind of being able to, I don't know.
Think as an artist.
Kind of. Yeah. It works really well. And I do believe that this is, you just have to understand going through these moments is so normal for what we do. And it's, you just have to help yourself get out of it and get through it. And don't feel guilty that you're in it.
No, I think guilt has no place in the studio. Just be grateful that we get the chance to paint, I guess. Easier said than done some days, but there you have it.
I know. Well, I'm going to go play in 34 degree weather.
Oh, please.
Which is pretty funny. 34 degrees. Usually I'm saying it's 82, but no, it's not. It's cold here. So
somehow I think you'll pitch. Gosh, do you even own a winter coat?
Oh, stop it. Of course I own a winter coat.
Oh, well, I didn't know.
I'm wearing Uggs right now. Is that good?
Yes, but in California I've seen people wear those, you know, 8 days of year. You have the luxury.
Well, I was laughing. It was in the high 50s here, and people were wearing shorts and flip-flops in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty funny.
That's what we
I'm
do.
Like, wait, that's when we wear winter coats. So it's all good.
Well
Margaret,
enjoy it while
you've
got it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I know you have a drive to make. So thank you
much.
This was really fun.
All right. Well, thanks, Leslie, and have a good week.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.